You to join in on the conversation. Tune in the second Monday of each month after 11 on KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM live and local.
KVOE live and local, fog out there in 42 degrees. Good morning, it's 826.
KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM live and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
And joining us on the KVOE Sutherland studio line, 60th District House Representative Mark Schreiber, the 2023 legislative session now just a week out.
Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning and Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. How have the holidays been?
It's been very nice. It was nice to have everybody home. And the weather was okay. It was a little cold there for a while, but it's getting better.
That does help. So, we try to get you and the other lawmakers in right before the start of the legislative session. And I guess the best place to start, I guess, would be looking back at the work and the accomplishments and some of the unfinished business from the 2022 session.
Yeah, I thought there were some good things in the 22 session, primarily around the budget. And some of this was related to federal dollars coming in for the COVID pandemic, but we were able to establish a rainy day fund, and which is something we've never really had. And then we've also got a strong ending balance on top of that, so that gives us some flexibility on things that we're going to be able to do here in the future. And that'll be one of the things I'm sure that people have many ideas on what to spend the money on coming up this year and next. So I think that was a really good thing to happen to our state budget, because I remember years where we didn't end but with a few dollars in our ending balance, and then really had to make some tough decisions on programs and funding and that sort of thing.
You know, one of the other things, that has rippled throughout the course of the year was, the decade process of redistricting, which seemed to have a lot of hue and cry at the federal level, very little at the state level.
Yeah, it was, there was a little bit that we heard about on certain districts, but overall, I thought, the districts came out okay, and they were eventually given the okay through our Supreme Court. But, it's always kind of a difficult process because of population shifts and demographics. So it's always kind of a push-pull kind of thing. And, it only happens every 10 years. So sometimes the people that were involved, 10 years ago aren't still here to carry on that experience and into the next redistricting.
Well, as we've touched on already, Mark, revenue estimates been huge. And we've reached or exceeded revenue estimates, I think, virtually every month last year. And you're flush with cash. I mean, and that's, you can't often say that, but, obviously that's going to make things a little bit easier, when it comes down to, getting things funded. So, as you mentioned, it's tough sometimes, though, to know exactly how much to spend and who to fund, and those will be the issues. Let's touch on something. Do you think Medicaid expansion will be back on the table? Is that something you'll be addressing early?
It will probably come up in some way, whether it's an amendment on a floor bill. It might come up in a committee. I really doubt it, though. Leadership in both chambers, the House and the Senate, are not supportive of Medicaid expansion. Haven't been. I mean, it's no secret there, and they can control the agenda that what bills come up on the House floor or the Senate floor. So I don't see that being successful. I mean, I'll support it if it comes up, but. It has to get 63 votes, and right now there aren't 63 votes in the House to get it passed.
We would define that as a long shot, then?
Yes.
Okay.
One other topic that's, Medicaid expansion has been in the public eye for a long period of time, really, for the last 6-7 years at least, if memory serves me correctly.
Oh, yeah.
And another one that's been in the public eye for a long period of time, and maybe even longer, is abortion policy. And clearly the Valley of Them Both Amendment was turned down by a pretty significant margin this past summer in the primary election cycle. But there's a lot of people who believe that this is going to come back up repeatedly until specifically the conservative Republican leadership is able to change the rule book when it comes to who has the authority on abortion regulations and abortion rules. Is this on the calendar coming back here for the 2023 session?
I haven't seen legislation associated with that being proposed, but I agree. I believe in some form it will come up. I don't know exactly how or what manner it will be. But as we all know, the Valley of Them Both Amendment was defeated pretty soundly across the state, and especially in my district, in the 60th district. It was 68% no. So, I mean, that sends a very strong signal to me what the public's perception of who should be regulating abortion. They really didn't want the legislature involved in those decisions. I wouldn't be surprised that it comes up. Like you said, I think it's just something that has been an annual type of legislation. Gosh, it dates back when I first was at the Capitol, around 2002 or so. It was coming up every year then, so it's been around a long time.
Well, the elections in November really didn't change the flow. The Kansas House still, obviously dominated by Republicans. What about leadership you're looking at heading into the new session, Mark?
Yeah, and so the Republican caucus, we've lost one member, so now it's 85 Republicans and 40 Democrats. It had been 86 and 39. But leadership is all brand new. Dan Hawkins from Wichita is the speaker. He had been the House Majority Leader. On the minority side, it's Vic Miller from Topeka. He is the minority leader now. Tom Sawyer decided not to run for minority leader. And then our Chris Croft is will be our majority leader. And our speaker pro tem is going to be Blake Carpenter from Wichita. So it's an all new team, although they've been in the legislature for a number of years. Dan and Blake have been in there probably the longest, probably I'm going to say 10, 12 years. And Chris has been in there, I believe, 6 years or so. Yeah. So it's a whole new leadership team. And but I think pretty much we'll stay with conservative kind of leanings towards certain legislation.
I was going to mention maybe new names and faces, but still, obviously a conservative leaning leadership will remain in the Kansas House.
You know, one thing that's come up here, Mark, and I apologize for interrupting, is you know, the food sales tax, which was championed really on both sides during the gubernatorial election, with Attorney General Derek Schmidt actually proposing that officially first, followed by Governor Laura Kelly. If memory serves me correctly, the changeover really has started now with the start of the year, with yesterday. But it sounds like there are some issues here with some of the taxation, and maybe some businesses haven't exactly gotten everything set up just yet here at the start of the year.
Yeah, I hope they get that cleared up soon. I don't know a lot of the details about that, but certainly I hope we can get those resolved and at least the reduction that's occurring on January 1st, everybody can access that. I think this is another issue that's going to come up to try to accelerate the going to zero for the food sales tax, state food sales tax. The local sales tax would remain, but and I think that's all going to be tied in and with kind of economic forecasts and so forth, because We did in December, we did miss the estimate by a little bit for revenues, although revenues compared to 21 were higher in 22, December of 22. But still, you know, the economy's slowing down a little bit, and we just don't want to get in a position of getting too aggressive with spending down our ending balance. But certainly there's, you know, there's probably going to be some discussion around that and how to make that work, along with some other budget issues. But I do hope that the mechanism for getting that food sales tax reduction in place here in the first of the year goes pretty quickly and smoothly.
Have you heard any buzz, Mark, about some proposed tax cuts? I know, you know, during the elections, we often hear tax cuts, and I don't know if there's been any specifics that have been laid out already you may be looking at. What are you hearing?
I think the one that I've heard most about is the income tax exemption for a certain level on Social Security payments, which, you know, in Kansas probably is would be a good thing for many of our residents, since we are kind of an older state as far as population, and a lot of people rely on Social Security. So increasing that exemption could benefit those folks as well. Other specific tax cuts, I haven't heard any details yet, but those will come out here this month, and you know, we'll get, you know, full examination and see where we stand in relation to what our budget will be.
Again, Mark Schreiber joining us here as the Kansas legislature begins its work next Monday, and then the governor's State of the State address will be a week from Wednesday. Mark, you know, one of the things that has really moved past the discussion stage to the action stage in a number of neighboring states happens to be medical marijuana. Is this the year that Kansas takes the step forward on that?
Well, certainly there's been a lot more activity this past fall. We had an interim committee on medical marijuana. They had four or five meetings. They had a lot of testimony, both within the state and like folks from Oklahoma, how their process went with implementing medical marijuana. The bill has not, at least I haven't seen it yet, but there were a number of recommendations that came out of that interim committee that would, I would assume, would go into a bill, and then that bill will of course, get vetted in the committees. And that's going to be the key, is how that bill's put together. There's concern about, gosh, all sorts of things, zoning, regulations, penalties, all sorts of things that go into a complete bill. And that's one thing I think that they really got from some of their testimony, was this isn't something just to go halfway on. You really need to construct a very solid piece of legislation to make this work. And so we'll see how that all comes out, and it'll be a vigorous debate, I'm sure. You know, there's concern from law enforcement, you know, some physicians and so forth, but there's also great support for it as well.
So would you support medical marijuana?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I condition that on what that bill looks like, but that bill is... I was just going through some of the recommendations, and there are, you know, they really took a very broad view on the things that need to be considered and addressed in a bill, and so I'm hopeful that will come out in good shape and something that I can support.
Yeah, I should have prefaced that by depending how the bill is packaged.
Right.
Yeah. A one-page bill would not meet my standards.
I can imagine. So, you know, one thing, too, Mark, again, it's a topic that's been in years past, but, you know, has at least in Kansas now moved to the action stage, unlike medical marijuana, was sports betting. And, you know, I think a lot of people were pleased to see that go legal. But a lot of people, I think, may also have been a little bit concerned with some of the revenue numbers, not realizing that's how the revenue was set up.
As far as the amount of revenue?
Right, the amount of revenue generated for the state.
Yeah. I mean, what we heard in our caucus meetings and so forth, this was not going to be a great windfall for the state as far as revenue. And, you know, some of the states that had it, that have a greater population than us, have seen, of course, greater revenue numbers. But, you know, still, what, it's been in effect for, what, about 3 months, four months? And so I think people are still getting a little used to it. Some have tried it and lost a bet or two and decided not to go back. And then I'm sure there's others that are getting more educated about, you know, their bets and so forth, and are going to continue. So it'll be interesting to see how the revenues do shake out on an annual basis, and we'll kind of see how that goes. But, yeah, I don't think it was ever meant to be a real barn burner as far as revenues for the state.
What issues are in front of you guys for the 23 session that either haven't been in past sessions or have gotten a maybe lower attention numbers than, or you know, lower attention span, shorter attention span than they'll receive here in this upcoming session?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think education always is a fairly big issue because it is the majority of our budget. It's over half of our budget. And on the K-12 side, one of the issues that did come up near the end of the session this past year was the full funding of special education. And there was an amendment on the floor when we were discussing the K-12 budget, and it passed originally, but then they came back and reconsidered it, and it failed. But it supported that funding, because right now we don't fund what we are statutorily required to fund with special education. And then what that means is then because special education is a federal program, then schools need to shift money from their general budget to fund special education, which then leaves the general budget a little short. So fully funding would be one area that I'll be quite interested in seeing that it comes back up in the budget. It's about $150 million a year, I believe, and those are kind of rough numbers, but I would like to see that. I think higher education is also going to get looked at from a funding standpoint, and I'm sure there'll be discussions related to, you know, some people's concerns with what happened at Emporia State. They'll be looking at, you know, how they handled their budget and what they're doing to try to make sure they don't, you know, stay in a budget hole and still provide good education to our college students. And, you know, that's important as well. And, you know, here in Emporia, we're kind of blessed with a lot of education, Emporia State and K-12, but also Flint Hills Tech College. And that's an important avenue because we've seen their enrollment really increase this past year. And Tech Ed is a real hotspot in education right now to get people in, get them educated, and get out and get a good paying job.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on the tack that Emporia State has taken? Obviously, they were at the forefront of higher education here in the state of Kansas for a move they made in the fall that took many by surprise and, you know, led to some dismissals on campus for some tenured professors at ESU. And they're taking a good, solid look at the programs that they offer and ones that obviously would not only benefit the university but students as well and that would also fit into the budgets. Do you think they are headed in the proper direction, Mark?
Well, I think when I looked at the data that the Board of Regents has online and looked at the numbers, something had to be done. And this kind of restructuring is never an easy call. And I'm glad there was a broad group of folks that were involved in the decision-making at Emporia State. I think time is going to be the best judge of this, but I think there are reinvestment areas in business and education. I'm trying to think of the others, music. Those sorts of things are important to keep employees stay vital and viable. And it'll certainly be continued to look at, but I'm hopeful that the changes will result in an increase in enrollment and continued success of our graduates from Emporia State.
Well, you mentioned funding, and higher education has been dealt a blow, funding from the state. I don't think that's a secret to anyone or a surprise to anyone hearing this brought up every time the legislative session begins. You did touch on this briefly, Mark, as far as higher education, but do you think they will be helped this year? Any money coming their way?
To be decided. I think there's going to be interest from, on the House side, we have a higher education budget committee, and I'm sure they're going to be looking at all the universities about what they're doing to address, declining enrollment, their deferred maintenance costs don't decline, they just keep rising, it seems. And what is the strategy these universities are going to implement to remain viable and not in, a lot of debt? So I think there's going to be a good examination of what's going on. Some will have different pathways on that, but certainly the legislature is going to be interested in not just, handing out money and saying, okay, go do good things with it. They'll want to see some kind of strategy, because everyone's concerned with the declining enrollment. It's not just Kansas. Other universities across the country are also seeing some declines. And, I think in some ways, high school graduates now want to kind of get into a program, educational program in college or tech college, and then get out. And how that gets adjusted so that we do provide good education to all our students. It's one of those things they have to examine and look at and kind of learn from each other about what works and what doesn't.
Kansas House 60th District State Representative Mark Schreiber. Before we let you go, Mark, let's talk about the committees that you are scheduled to serve on.
Yeah, so I'm on four committees this year. I'm on the Utilities, Energy and Telecommunications Committee, which meets in the mornings, and that one I've been vice chair of. I'm not vice chair now, I'm just a member, but of course I've got a lot of interest in that area and be glad to share that with the rest of the committee. The other one that meets in the morning on alternate days is a new committee. It's Legislature Modernization Committee. It's brand new, and it's looking at ways to use technology to make the legislature more efficient. I'm not sure exactly what that means. That's just been the description of the committee, but I'm glad to be part of that and looking for ways that hopefully we can be a better resource for the public and make it more transparent for folks to see what we're doing. Then I'm also on the Education Committee in the House and also the Judiciary Committee, which now I'm vice chair of the Judiciary Committee. It meets in the afternoon and is probably one of the most active committees in the House. It usually has one of the higher number of bills, a lot of, whether it's civil penalties or increased penalties or reduction in penalties, whatever it might be, that deal with judicial matters, legal reform, and so forth. That's what comes before that committee. We've got a great chairman in Fred Patton from Topeka, and I've been serving on that committee now for a couple of years, and I've really found it interesting. I hadn't been interested in the past, but when I started serving on it, it was really fascinating to be part of, and I'm looking forward to being vice chair on that.
Your legislative plate is full, Mark. Sounds like, yeah.
Pretty much, yeah, but looking forward to it. Mark, and hopefully it's a good year.
Good deal. Mark, anything else you wanted to touch base on or any issues that we've missed that you feel need to be put out into the community here today?
No, I think you've hit some of the key areas that will be coming up. There's always issues, it seems like, with housing, you know, affordable housing, access to child care. We've got foster care issues that we've had interim committees on. Those will all kind of be looked at as well. So it's not like just the ones we talked about earlier are going to be the main points. They'll probably get a lot of media attention, but there's a number of other issues that the legislature will be dealing with and that are important to Kansans, and hopefully I can be productive in that discussion.
Mark, well, thanks so much for your time. Looking forward to really tracking the work of the legislative session here starting next week and going through through April, May, and even June, depending on how things go. And looking forward to reaching out to you on the different occasions as needed and getting your perspective on how things are tracking.
You bet. I'll be glad to update you whenever, and appreciate the opportunity to visit with you this morning.
Mark, thank you, and Happy New Year.
Thanks, Mark.
Happy New Year, guys.
All right, that's Mark Schreiber, Kansas House 60th District Representative, joining us on KVOE Legislative Preview, and we'll continue on that tact on Wednesday, Chuck.
Yes, we have 17th District Senator Jeff Longbine joining us on Wednesday, and right now we are confirmed with the 76th District Representative Eric Smith joining us for the 8:40 slot on Thursday. We are going to be reaching out here just a little bit later this morning for 13th District Representative-elect Dwayne Droege. He was just announced late last week as taking over for Joe Newland, who won re-election to that spot, but also resigned so he could take over the Kansas Farm Bureau. So Dwayne Droege was recently installed, so we were reaching out to him to see if we can get him on this week as well.
KVOE Live and Local, good morning. It is 8:52. Let's check the headlines now from ABC.
This just in, Russia says 63 of its soldiers were killed in a Ukraine.